you'll realize that if you can live in Korea, then you could probably live anywhere else in the world if you wanted to. And that's a nice surprise to know that you, as a person who's possibly grown up in the same place all your life, all of a sudden you've expanded yourself to be able to live or to go anywhere you really want to go. Hi, this is Jason Cresswell of Access of Korea Now, AskNow.ca. Thanks for listening in on this podcast where I will be speaking with Grant Kim of English Teaching Opportunities. We're going to be discussing your TESOL certification, whether it's required or not, the comforts of the neighborhood you would be expecting to live in, transportation, the dress code of most schools, what are some of the nice surprises that you might have while living in Korea, and a lot of other things. So go ahead and enjoy, and we'll talk to you at the end of the podcast. So yeah, back to the TESOL question. What's your experience with that, Brent, as far as it being necessary or helpful in getting a job or helpful in any way?
The TESOL, CELTA, any type of teaching English as a second language certification is definitely a plus on your resume. And if you're a first-time teacher, having that as a foundation is a very good start, but it is not a requirement for our schools, or for the majority of schools. Some schools will prefer TESOL graduates to, you know, those who don't have it, but it won't really hinder you being able to get a job. You might not be able to get a certain job, but you will definitely be able to find a job whether you have it or not.
Yeah, that's been my experience as well. Good. Okay, so let's switch to the topic of actually living and experiencing Korea. And again, we've touched on it a little bit before, but let's just talk about what you could expect in regards to different living areas, what you would expect, maybe if we can go a little bit deeper, what would you expect to find in pretty much any neighborhood as far as the comforts of your neighborhood around your home where you live? What would you expect to be able to find, maybe even in walking distance? Could crack at that, Brent?
Sure.
If you're just thinking, you know what I mean? Like, where it's kind of something that's always been impressive to me is how much you can actually find within walking distance of your house, and it's just being comfortable.
Yes, definitely. I think there's more within walking distance of your house in Korea than you would ever find back home, I think. Mm-hmm. Usually within I guess a 5-minute walk, you're going to find, you know, the local supermarket, the local convenience store, the local video store, the local, I guess, place to go for chicken and beer. You're going to find, I guess, a laundromat. All of those things are fairly basic within your living area. How Korea is kind of structured is housing is built very close together, like apartments. You know, there'll be several buildings right next to each other. And for those buildings, there'll be a separate, I guess, kind of service building with, you know, everything that you'll need. So I think a lot of people, when they think about Korea, you know, they think, well, I don't have a car there. How am I going to get around? How am I going to survive? Well, 9 out of 10 things that you need are within walking distance. And if they're not within walking distance, you know, they usually deliver as well in Korea, which is a nice bonus. I think once you come to Korea and you start realizing how delivery here works, it's great. You know, I know at times when my family's at home and, you know, we need something from the store, we'll actually call the store and they'll bring it to us. So, you know, it's just a nice little service, and there's a lot to see when you're just walking around your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Where I grew up in America, you know, walking around my neighborhood, it's nothing but houses. And, you know, the nearest store was probably about a 5-10 minute drive away. So it is mm-hmm. a very big difference from how things are back home.
Yeah, it would be definitely difficult if you were to come to a new country, like, for example, coming to Korea, and if you had to deal with the issue of not having a car, and, you know, if you're saying, oh, I'm just going to be here for a short amount of time, you know, I don't really want to have to buy a car, but how am I going to get around? You know, it's if you're thinking of living back home in the Western world and not having a car, it seems like a huge inconvenience, and you wouldn't want to even ponder. You know, like you said, the closest store will be 5-10 minute drive away, and you're just thinking, oh no, if I don't have a car, you know, is it going to be a pain just to get around? And I mean, due to a couple of things. One, like we just said, the proximity of things that are available. You can walk to pretty much anything you need to get. And then beyond that, if you do have to go a little bit further, I would almost compare taking a taxi. If you were to just take a taxi everywhere you went, you would probably be spending about the same as you would to have, own, and maintain a car back home. So if you really wanted to just have your own chauffeur and just take taxis everywhere, it's pretty much in reach. And then a lot of people, if they want to kind of save a little bit more money, then they will take the bus or the subway, which is, again, very convenient and very quick. And if you compare, I came from a smaller city, so maybe, Brent, you might be able to compare with a bigger city as far as the frequency of public transportation. For example, you know, when I had to take a bus when I was younger, you know, it would be at 12 o'clock and then 12:15 and then 12:30, and it all depends on, you know, the schedule of the bus. Whereas in Korea, you just go to the bus stop and you wait a couple of minutes and then the bus shows up. Well, you know what I mean? How would you compare that to a bigger city in the States?
Well, I'm from Los Angeles, and growing up in Los Angeles, you realize that Los Angeles has no public transportation, where it is kind of fast enough where, you know, you can catch a bus anytime you want, where it's a comfortable way to travel. I never felt that way in Los Angeles. And, you know, when I got my driver's license, you know, I had a car. And for people in Los Angeles, you know, that's the only way to really travel, I think. Whereas in Korea, you know, I have a car in Korea and I drive in Korea, but honestly, 9 out of 10 times I don't feel the need to drive in Korea. I would rather take the bus or the subway because it's a lot more comfortable than actual driving.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to, you know, every area in front of the apartment or wherever you're living. You know, a bus stop is only a couple minutes walk away. And the buses are extremely frequent. Some buses will come every 2 minutes. Some buses will come 5 minutes. I think the longest, you know, you're going to wait for a bus is 10 minutes. And this is, you know, it doesn't matter what time you go out and whatnot. The subway is even more frequent. I think there's a train every about 2 or 3 minutes. So public transportation in Korea is great. And as, like Jason mentioned, taxis, if you could take taxis all day long, and it really won't add up to that much money. It's still fairly cheap here. And if you're in a major city, finding a taxi is not a problem. I think there's more taxis than regular cars on the streets now.
Regular cars?
And taxis are a fairly convenient way to travel. But then I think for the first couple months, taxis are the prevalent way to travel for a lot of foreigners. But as you're in Korea longer and you get used to how transportation works, taking a bus, taking the subway is a very easy way to travel. One of our teachers mentioned that there is a foreigner's help service on the telephone. If you call them and you say, I want to go from here to here, they will tell you exactly how to get there by bus or subway. They will say, you know, where you are, take the number or so-so bus, get off here, transfer to this bus, and they'll help you out. And I didn't know this, and this is actually a service that I'm planning on using often. And so traveling isn't really a big issue. And honestly, you know, living in Korea, owning a car isn't worth it. for the average person.
Good. Rich has asked a couple of really good questions, which I would like to address. I'll take his second question first. It's in regards to how conservative you are expected to dress for work. So what would be the dress code, basically, Grant?
Dress code varies from school to school. I've actually seen some schools who would like kind of a semi-formal, you know, they want you to wear a white button-up shirt with a tie. But that's the rare case, I think. I think the average school would like you to dress in a neat appearance. I think it's kind of the best way to describe it. So they would like you to wear kind of slacks instead of torn jeans or something. They would like for you to wear a collar polo style shirt instead of wearing a t-shirt. But it's not to the point where, you know, there aren't really any draconian laws at schools about how you dress. But you should realize that, you know, you are a teacher and you are in front of children, so you should dress appropriately. And I think at the school my family runs, we're actually fairly casual about how teachers dress. You know, we have teachers come in just jeans and a t-shirt, but as long as it's not, you know, anything that really stands out too much, you know, we don't mind. And I think most schools feel that way too, where, you know, as long as your dress isn't affecting, you know, kind of the work environment, it's not a really big issue.
Mm-hmm. I think a good guideline is, what would you expect a teacher back home to wear?
Exactly.
If you can kind of picture what you would expect a teacher in the U.S. and Canada and Australia, wherever else, what you would expect them to wear, and if you follow that same kind of style of dress, then you'll be right around the right area as far as what you should be choosing. So it doesn't have to be overly fancy, just like you said, somewhat semi-professional. You know, business casual is another way to say it, and as long as you're like Brant said, not wearing stuff that would, you know, stand out as something that would be, you know, distracting. If your style is distracting your class, then there's something wrong there. But aside from that, just casual. A more difficult question, maybe not more difficult, I don't know, but more one that you have to think about that Rich asked is, what was the nicest surprise you had when you first moved to Korea? It's a pretty big question, but I'll try to tackle that, and maybe I'll let Brant think about it while I tackle that question. So a nice surprise when I first moved to Korea, I think it was probably that you're in such a big or populated place, yet people are still very friendly and very open and very helpful. and maybe also the feeling of safety that you have in such a big city or such big cities. Whereas if I was back home, if I was in a Toronto or a New York or an LA-sized city, I wouldn't exactly feel too comfortable, you know, walking around by myself at night, or you'd not be sure which areas you should avoid, which areas you should be in, and you'd kind of be looking around, looking over your shoulder to make sure that you're being safe. However, in Korea, it's a lot different. I never really felt like I was, you know, ever in any kind of physical danger, and that's kind of reinforced by when you look at what the rates of violent crime is much lower here in Korea than it would be in the Western world. So I think that was a pleasant surprise, that I can be walking around in a city of 2 million or 10 million and feel completely at ease about it and be able to do that with a feeling of independence. And that would be another thing, would be the feeling of independence that you get would be a nice surprise too. You will get a real strong feeling of independence after living in a country that is totally foreign to you for a while. You'll realize that if you can live in Korea, then you could probably live anywhere else in the world if you wanted to. And that's a nice surprise to know that you, as a person who's possibly grown up in the same place all your life, all of a sudden you've expanded yourself to be able to live or to go anywhere you really want to go. Would you have any things that surprised you coming to Korea, Brandon?
Coming to Korea, I think I visited a lot while I was when I was very young, but coming to Korea as an adult, I think the crime thing that you mentioned earlier is a really huge difference from if you're coming from a major city anywhere else in the world, pretty much, where you can walk, you know, along the street in the middle of the night, and there is no physical danger to you, pretty much. And I think that was a huge shock for me as well. The idea of walking, you know, at night in downtown LA, you know, just would never work. but, you know, you could walk in downtown Seoul, you know, drunk in the middle of the night, screaming and yelling, and you'll be perfectly safe. Which is, you know, simply just not something that I think most people can really comprehend if they come from a native city. Just that whole idea seems foreign to them. Other things I've noticed about being in Korea, which was a pleasant surprise, I look Korean, so I don't get this as much, but when I'm ever out with foreign teachers, is how Koreans will approach you and be just very friendly to you. They'll try to, you know, converse with you, and they'll try to get to know you. And it's a very nice thing where, you know, if you come from the U.S., where, you know, the average way to, you know, treat somebody that you don't know is to ignore them. But in Korea, you know, if you're a foreigner, you do stand out, and you'll automatically be liked by a lot of people, which is definitely a plus.
Yeah, you've got an advantage coming in. You've got an advantage coming into the game, where, you know, you're kind of set apart, and like you said, it's easy to make new friends. It's easy to meet new people, and people are very, very approachable and very approaching. I mean, if you're ever having trouble, as far as the language barrier goes, if you're ever having trouble, you know, if you're in a shopping situation or you're trying to get somewhere, or you're trying to find directions, all you have to do is kind of stand around for a minute and look like you don't know what you're doing, and before long, somebody with some level of English is going to just come up to you and try to start helping you and ask, you know, oh, you need help? And it's pretty much, I mean, I think if we were to conduct scientific tests on it, you would see that, you know, there's probably a 37 seconds to 1 minute and 14 seconds where within that time, if you stand there kind of with a dumbfounded look on your face, you're going to get help. And that's, you know, that's all you have to do is just be like, I'm looking for help here. And all of a sudden, there's going to be somebody that's going to show up and do some translating for you or do some directing for you. And, you know, Korean people really go out of their way to try to help you get to where you're going or buy what you want to buy or do it. Because, I mean, and it's good for them, right? They want to use the English that they've learned. They're like, oh, this is a real life situation that after all these hours of studying, now I'm going to have to, you know, use this English that I've learned in a real life situation, and they love it. And you know, as anybody else, if you try to think of when you help somebody, you feel good about it. And the same goes for me. If I'm back in Canada and I see, you know, some Korean people, if I listen to them and I hear that they're speaking Korean, and you're almost hoping that they're going to have some kind of difficulty that you can help them out with. So you could step in there, oh, I can help you, you know, oh, where are you looking to go here? Or where are you, you know, you feel like you almost owe it to them because you're thinking, well, you know, those years that I was in Korea, everybody was so helpful to me. Now I just want to, you know, help some Korean people in Canada or help some Korean people in the States.
A common story that I hear from teachers in Korea is when they are lost and they ask for directions, it seems that the majority of Koreans will actually take them to where they need to go. You kind of see someone, you know, get off the subway and they ask, oh, where's so-and-so store or, you know, restaurant? And, you know, I've actually seen Koreans say, oh, I'll take you there. And, you know, they'll take them there and, you know, they'll help you with whatever you need to do. And they really do go out of their way to try to help as much as possible, which is very different from, I think, the mentality in other major cities, where, you know, you'd be lucky to get directions.
It's true. And that, you know, I mean, myself, after over 5 years, I can get around pretty well now. And just your story or that comment reminded me of the last time I was taking the subway in Seoul. I don't know, I must have been looking at the subway map or something, but some older gentleman asked me where I was going, and I had to transfer on the subway, you know, which is a pretty simple task, but he was very helpful. He walked me right over to the next subway that I had to take, and then he knew what exit I was getting off at, so he was watching almost as each stop went by. And, you know, when I got to that exit, he made sure to let me know that this was my stop, and, you know, he's kind of walking me through the whole thing. So it still happens, and it happens quite often, so that's a pleasant surprise. Thanks for listening to the podcast. As you can see, we have many others that you can listen to. For more information on teaching in Korea or to apply, just visit www.asknow.ca. That's www.asknow.ca. And if you have any questions, feel free to contact us. Looking forward to seeing you in Korea.